Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, July 9th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Matt Hirsch. Matt, we're so grateful that you have joined us today, and we look forward to the opportunity after you read to take some time to talk together about things of life and faith.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on the podcast today. Our first reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the traditions just as I passed them on to you. But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It is the same as having her head shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, she might as well have her hair cut off. But if it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, then she should cover her head. A man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. It is for this reason that a woman ought to have authority over her own head, because of the angels. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman. But everything comes from God. Judge for yourselves, is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not the very nature of things teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a disgrace to him? But that if a woman has long hair, it is her glory? For long hair is given to her as a covering. If anyone wants to be contentious about this, we have no other practice, nor do the churches of God. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. For when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry, and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, We are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions. Now we'll move on to our reading from Psalms. We'll be reading Psalm 54. For the director of music with stringed instruments, a maskil of David. When the Ziphites had gone to Saul and said, "Is not David hiding among us? Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. People without regard for God. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, Lord, for it is good. You have delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes." And now for our Old Testament reading, we'll be reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and we'll be starting in the middle in verse 10. Then too, I saw the wicked buried, those who used to come and go from the holy place and receive praise, in the city where they did this. This too is meaningless. When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, people's hearts are filled with schemes to do wrong. Although a wicked person who commits 100 crimes may live a long time, I know that it will go better with those who fear God, who are reverent before him. Yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them, and their days will not lengthen like a shadow. There is something else meaningless that occurs on the earth. The righteous who get what the wicked deserve, and the wicked who get what the righteous deserve. This too, I say, is meaningless. So I commend the enjoyment of life, because there is nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany them in their toil all the days of the life God has given them under the sun. When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe the labor that is done on earth, people getting no sleep day or night, then I saw all that God has done. No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite all their efforts to search it out, no one can discover its meaning. Even if the wise claim they know, they cannot really comprehend it.
Thank you, Matt, for joining us on the podcast today. It was a pleasure listening to you read God's Word to us. I want to hear a little bit about your family. Tell me about yourself, where you grew up, and tell us about what you do for a living.
Again, it was my pleasure, Mary. I'm from here. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama. I'm from the northern Shelby County area. Went through all the Oak Mountain schools as they opened up. I'm an analyst at Regions Bank. I've worked at Regions Bank for 13 years now. I'm married to Amy, which I feel like most people know her as well or better than they know me. And we have an 8-month-old daughter, Eliza Ruth, which we're just thrilled to bring up here.
I would like to know a little bit more about your faith. Tell me about your journey with the Lord.
Sure. I think that one of the things that maybe we struggle with as evangelicals or even Baptists is that we put a lot of emphasis on a salvation experience and specifically an event, and that's not necessarily my story. I think that my story is a story of sanctification. I pretty vividly remember in high school praying to the Lord and realizing that I was praying to someone and really established that I was a believer. But then in college, I struggled to really make some friends and was praying to the Lord and
realized I was not necessarily making the right friends. And he brought a group of folks from the Baptist Campus Ministries into my life that became great friends, and it was an answer to prayer. And it was at that point in time I really decided to dedicate my life to the Lord. And that's something that I feel like that we have to do every day as well. So I don't necessarily have a salvation event, but I think that I can see guideposts in my life where the Lord was working in my heart. And thankfully, He's still working in my heart.
Well, we sure are grateful that you're a part of Mount Brook Baptist and all that you do with associate deacons. And we see you around helping Amy in any aspects that you can. I want to know a little bit more about you personally. I know that you are a fan of history and also of the national parks. How did you become an aficionado of history?
Well, I'm definitely not a historian by any stretch of the imagination. I really enjoy things that give us context. I really like to know kind of how things were and know stories. I think that's the key word in history is knowing stories. And that's why I think that when you look in the Word, why parables were so effective, how to make, you know, reading the Old Testament more effective. It's fun just to see when it comes to national parks, you know, the creation of the Lord and things that He's done. In our growth group, we're reading a book talking about the fear of the Lord and people that have a tough time reconciling God as creator with God as redeemer, and it's the same God. That's something that God, we try to put God as creator in the past, but He's still creating. You know, when you look at, say, the Grand Canyon, there's still water running through and it's still creating a canyon. And that's kind of like our lives. You know, you read a history book or something that people went through, and then you have to think about, well, what are people going to read about in our lifetime when it's history? And that's something that I've just always enjoyed, because like our Ecclesiastes reading, when you look at, there's nothing new under the sun. It really helps us live our lives when we see what people have gone through and the creation that they've seen.
Matt, I wanted to know, what is a moment or what are some moments in your life that have really shaped you, have made you who you are?
So this is a really probably heavy question. Something that a lot of people might not necessarily know about me is that my father passed away when I was a kid, when I was 11 years old. And it's one of those things that I'm really grateful to the Lord, because He still put some very strong male influences in my life. And in retrospect, I realized that there are a lot of choices that you can make on what type of man you want to be when you don't have a father figure in your life. And I'm just really grateful that the Lord has directed my steps in a right path.
Thanks for sharing that. Tell me a little bit more about how the men in your life have helped to shape you.
Again, it's kind of like sanctification. I can go through and find men that were guideposts. I think two that really stand out. One is my neighbor. I call him my uncle. They're not blood relative. He and my quote unquote aunt. But growing up, they're my next door neighbors, and they didn't have any children. And so I was always really close to them anyway. But when my father passed away, he really filled that void. He made sure that I stayed in tune to my studies. We'd go out to eat regularly, really spoke a lot of wisdom into my life that I would not have gotten otherwise. Another person is my grandfather. My mom's dad was actually a Baptist preacher and was part of the generation that really just figured out how to do anything. If he wanted to garden, he gardened. If he wanted to raise bees, he'd raise bees. Anything that he put his minds to, he did. And me and my cousins, especially my cousins that are men, almost hold him to a mythical status because he really did a lot of things with one hand that we joke that now we'd have to watch YouTube to figure out how to do today.
Do you have a favorite Bible verse that you might commend to all of us?
I do. One of my favorite verses is out of 1 Peter. It's in chapter 5, and it's verses, part of verse 5 through 7. It's, "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." I've always really liked that verse because I need it. Obviously, I struggle with patience. They joke around often, don't pray for patience because you'll be afraid for what you'll get. But I've struggled with patience, and I struggle with humility sometimes. And so this is a verse that I really need a lot. And I've always thought about it because, God will lift us up, but most importantly, we just need to cast our anxiety on him. He walks with us through our burdens.
Amen. On that note, Matt, would you close our time together with prayer?
Father, we're just so grateful for this time together. We're grateful for your word and how you've given it to us and the wisdom that it speaks into our lives. God, I thank you for the opportunity for our church to have a podcast where we can just delve into your word together. I thank you for our church and our community that we can love on each other and what they mean to me. Father, I just so grateful for how you've blessed us and the provision that you give us, and most importantly, just for your son, Jesus, that he is Lord over our lives. We pray this in his name. Amen.